Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What up, world? Welcome on and all to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name, RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on The Ocho. It is Thursday, the third day, October 17th, 2019, and we have a very special episode in store for you today. We're venturing across enemy lines, bringing in one of the best, Michael Kiss from Bleeding Green Nation, producer extraordinaire for BGN Radio, will join us here in a little bit to preview Sunday's big, huge, gigantic Dallas Cowboys-Philadelphia Eagles matchup. This game, I've been saying it all week. I mean, been writing about it, been talking about it, tweeting about it. This is the biggest game that Jason Garrett has ever coached in his career. That's it. I mean, it really is. And I've been thinking a lot about this and thinking a lot about what could happen if the Cowboys do lose. And obviously they're on a bye next week. And, you know, you have to imagine that, you know, sitting on a bye would not be great for Jason Garrett, you know, if they lost. And Jerry Jones would seemingly probably get a little restless. I mean, anybody would. I do not think that anything would happen to Jason Garrett. And I know I've said that before. I mean, I think at this point you're kind of pot committed, but beyond that, or not even beyond that, stepping back, I know this sounds crazy, but I kind of am growing more optimistic that the Cowboys are going to win this game. And look, Wednesday's injury report came out, and it was rough, all right? The injury report on Wednesday, if you didn't get a chance to see it, was rough. And again, this is Thursday, so we will have the injury report available for you later this afternoon at bloggingtheboys.com, and we'll have it for you on Twitter and stuff like that as well. But Wednesday's practice report for the Dallas Cowboys, the following players did not practice: Anthony Brown, Randall Cobb, Lyle Collins, Amari Cooper, Travis Frederick, Byron Jones, and Tyron Smith. The following players were limited in Wednesday's practice: Dorrance Armstrong. Jason Garrett did say that because it was a padded practice, they were going to keep things light for him. So that's why they did. Michael Gallup, obviously. Chris Jones, punter with a back injury. And Zach Martin, the only full participants that were listed in practice on Wednesday: Sean Lee and Tony Pollard. Think about this. We've reached a point where we're so backwards that Sean Lee is the epitome of health on the Dallas Cowboys. If you care, when it comes to the Eagles, Ronald Darby, Eagles cornerback, was a limited participant in practice. They had a lot of no practice players: Nigel Bradham, Fletcher Cox, Deshaun Jackson, Timmy Jernigan, Avante Maddox, obviously, Jason Peters, and Darren Sproles. Jason Peters not expected to play in this game. So, I mean, it is an injured sort of group on both sides of this matchup. And, you know, you'll hear Kiss and I talk about it, and I think I sound a little bit more negative there, but I'm growing a little bit more confident because just looking at the way the Cowboys have lost, they're in games, right? I mean, you look at it, they've got a positive, you know, turnover differential. You know, I mean, they are a team that has found, they're outscoring opponents in the second half. I mean, you know, I think that the key for the Cowboys is starting strong, right? And that kind of goes without saying. But I think if this team, the way they're currently constructed, the way they're currently playing football, I think if they're able to get out to an early lead, we've seen them really have success in the second half, even in the games they've lost. Obviously, they kind of own the third quarter. But I've got a growing sense of optimism. I know it's only Thursday, so we'll see what happens. Again, the Thursday practice report, I think, will instill some more optimism in people. Hopefully, you know, it does for you as well. But I think, you know, amazingly, I mean, again, we're in a really, you know, the upside down sort of place to hit some Stranger Things with the Sean Lee thing. But we're also in a place where LaDainian Tomlinson was on the Dan Patrick Show on Wednesday, and he made, I think, a great point. I mean, it's not like a point that nobody knew, but it just, for some reason, when LaDainian Tomlinson said it, it kind of crystallized for me. Here's LaDainian Tomlinson asked if he's worried about the Dallas Cowboys on Wednesday's Dan Patrick Show.
Are you nervous about the Cowboys if you're a Cowboy fan? No, I'm not. I mean, we talk about injuries all the time. Look at what they're dealing with. You know, the best left tackle in football, Tyron Smith, has been out. And I don't care what anybody says. That has hurt their offensive line and hurt their offense. Because when you think they can't do either one, they can't run the football or throw it. You know, every time Dak drops back, he's getting hit, pressured. Ezekiel is getting hit in the backfield. So that's offensive line play, you know. Once they get that solidified, when he comes back, Amari Cooper is going to be fine. I think the Cowboys – I think they're the best team in the NFC East. I think they're better than the Eagles. I do.
I don't know what it was about that it all just kind of became optimistic for me. Maybe, you know, it was Wednesday. Hump day, it's a weird day. You know, who knows? I had some animal crackers as a snack. It's maybe, you know, now that I think about it, I think they're organic animal crackers. I know that sounds impossible. I think it's impossible. But the lady at Costco said that. So, you know, whatever. But I buy that. And I know that Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins and Amari Cooper are probably not going to play on Sunday. That's what Brian Broaddus from DallasCowboys.com said on Wednesday's Somos Cowboys. And while all of that's true, dude, I mean, I thought this was a great point when you kind of think about the Cowboys and think about, you know, their history and think about, you know, all of the weird and awkward situations that they have faced in Jason Garrett's tenure, because, you know, obviously, you know, they have been in a lot of those. I mean, that's just kind of been the case. But when you think about this team and you think about, you know, the history of them under their head coach, when do they lose this game? Honestly, I mean, when do they lose the big game? I mean, and I know you're going to say they lost to the Rams last year. Yeah, I know. But when they're in these situations, when their back is against the wall, when do they lose that game? They always come out, they win that game. I know it's a weird sort of thing to bank on, but I mean, I don't know. That's kind of where I find myself here on the third day. But it is a very special day. We have a very special guest, Michael Kist, producer extraordinaire from Bleeding Green Nation Radio. Bleeding Green Nation, if you did not know, is our SB Nation team brand site that covers the Philadelphia Eagles, one of the best websites in all of SB Nation. I know they cover a team that we all hate, but they do such fantastic work. You should give them a, you know, check them out, give them a follow on Twitter at Bleeding Green. Listen, subscribe everywhere you, by the way, you should be subscribed to the Blog of the Boys podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts, Apple devices, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Alexa, whatever. Anywhere you get us, you can get Bleeding Green Nation. They are the number one SB Nation team brand podcast network, and we are so proud of them and so thrilled to have Michael Kist from Bleeding Green Nation on the Ocho. Let's stop messing around. Let's talk about it. It's Eagles Week. Here is Michael Kist from Bleeding Green Nation. Pleased to be joined now by one of my better friends, somebody who I'm sure you follow on Twitter. If you don't, you're missing out on great takes on all things in this world, at Michael Kist NFL. He is Michael Kist, producer extraordinaire of the number one sports-related podcast that SB Nation produces. In fact, SB Nation only produces sports-related podcasts. You get the picture. He is a genius in the podcast world. Again, he challenges Adam Schefter, I believe, goes back and forth. The genius behind Bleeding Green Nation Radio, Michael Kist. What's up, my dude?
Yeah, it's been a real rivalry with Schefter and Stone Cold Steve Austin. But yeah, we are stunning the team brand podcast world, the most comprehensive coverage that you can find on the Philadelphia Eagles, which I'm sure your Cowboys listeners will love. But I really do invite them to come over and listen to some of our preview shows and see if they don't agree with some of the takes. So glad to be with you. And how you doing, RJ?
I'm doing well, and I will say that I listen to BGN Radio, and I enjoy it. It is great for all NFL fans. Obviously, you know, it's a bit tougher, Cowboys-Eagles week, just because, you know, your intentions are obvious. But, you know, some of the best episodes I've ever heard, like after last season's Cowboys-Eagles game at AT&T Stadium, was an incredible episode with you and Solak. You know, you have those to look forward to if the Cowboys are able to win. But right now, Kist, I mean, the Cowboys lost to the Jets. It's a pretty low point. Yeah. I think it's interesting that the Cowboys are playing the Eagles, you know, the weeks after they've played the Packers and Jets. I mean, they literally played teams that played the Eagles and lost to the Eagles the week prior. So there's an interesting level of crossover there. What do you make just of the fact that, the Eagles have been able to beat the Packers and the Jets quite, I don't say quite handily. That Green Bay game was tough, but, and then the Cowboys have struggled against them. Just right off the top, does that give you a level of optimism?
Yeah, I mean, it does. I don't know if it means a whole lot, like team A beats team B, which means team C that beat team A can beat team B. Like all of that's kind of weird in the NFL. It's all about matchups and how you play on that given day. And, you know, the Eagles, after playing Green Bay really well, despite falling behind early, haven't exactly been busting down the doors. Even the Jets game was a bit uneven for them. And they were playing Luke Falk as compared to the Cowboys, who were playing Sam Darnold. And the Cowboys were dealing with a lot of the same issues coming into that game, with missing people and drops and so on and so forth, that the Eagles dealt with coming into the Atlanta game, where they had people that they had to scratch beforehand and then throw out half their play menu, and then you have the drops as well. So I'm sympathetic towards what the Cowboys had to deal with coming into that game, and also realizing at the same time, having gone through it in Philadelphia, that no one outside of Philadelphia or outside of Dallas is going to give a darn about that very important context. So yeah, it does give me a little bit more hope coming into this game. Cowboys are on a bad losing streak. I don't think it takes too much for them to right the ship. I think some of the problems, especially with the offense over the past few weeks, if they just kind of go back to the scripting that they had earlier on, the game plan they had earlier on in the year, I think it's very easy them for them to fix it. Obviously, getting Amari Cooper back healthy is a big plus. But yeah, I mean, not a whole lot to take away from that, but definitely feeling good about catching the Cowboys on a downswing. However, who knows? Their backs are against the wall. They could come out and play a real good one in a divisional primetime game.
Yeah, it feels like the Cowboys are where the Eagles were around the Atlanta loss. You know, like dealing with a lot of injuries, Dak not getting a lot of help. That, you know, it's Carson. I know that you guys had a lot of fun with the Nelson Aguilar drop and things like that. It kind of feels like the Cowboys are there, and the Eagles managed to pull themselves out of it, kind of, you know, up against the ropes, so to speak, in Green Bay on that short week. And that, I don't want to say that turned them around, because obviously they lost last week to the Vikings and whatnot, but it feels like the Cowboys haven't had that moment that really sort of helped, you know, reinvigorate their season. And they don't have a win of the quality that the Eagles do. That win over the Packers is really impressive, certainly when you look at what, you know, the season has been both ways. Before I get into Carson and I get into the receivers that I know you're quite fond of, what do you make of Doug Peterson's, I don't want to call it a guarantee, but of his proclamation, I guess, because Cowboys fans hear that and they get real pissed off, as you can imagine. But one, is that completely uncharacteristic of him, or has he done similar things in the past, like similar psychological motivations or whatever? And if not, I mean, do you really get the sense that it is this, you know, sort of putting it on the table moment, so to speak, or it's just, you know, injecting a rational level of confidence?
Yeah, I think, you know, some people in Philadelphia have criticized him for kind of quote unquote guaranteeing that win. I just see it as a ball coach that's trying to motivate his team when their backs are against the wall. I don't see anything wrong with what he's saying. I saw a lot wrong with what Zach Brown said about Kirk Cousins. That's not his place. But for Doug, you look at a guy, 2017, Carson Wentz goes down. Everybody thinks the season is over, and Doug's there talking big. You know, 2018, when the Eagles are almost like literally mathematically, eliminated from the playoffs, and Doug, you know, continues to grind the message home that we're close, and, you know, we can win these games, and so on and so forth. If there's anybody that I trust to send the right message to the team to get them motivated to win when the chips are down and things are looking bad, it's Doug Peterson. So if that's what he feels that's the best thing for the team in that moment, then I can do nothing but trust him, and it's on the team to respond. So yeah, I know Cowboys fans are going to be upset about it, and they're going to be yelling about it and whatever. That's totally understandable. I totally get that. But as far as Doug goes, man, I have no issue with it.
I agree. I found it to be, and it wasn't even like, you know, like the Zach Brown thing is, I think, the extreme example, but even like the Kamu Grier-Hill thing last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't even like that sort of thing. It was just, it felt like, yeah, that's our plan, is we're going to go, we're going to win that game, we're going to be in first place, whatever. But so Carson Wentz is, you know, man, I remember in 2016 when, you know, the Eagles went to AT&T Stadium for the first time, and that was the first Dak Wentz game and the overtime game and whatnot. And, you know, Cowboys fans and Eagles fans, I know they love to go at each other, you know, over Dak and Carson, but I feel like Carson's played well. He's one of the only two quarterbacks that PFF has ahead of Dak Prescott so far this season. For Cowboys fans that have just loved to pick on the bad moments, what is Carson Wentz playing like this season? Because it does seem to be like some of his best football six games in.
Yeah, I think he's playing at a really high level. I think from a mental perspective, he's seeing the game well. He's seeing at the line, getting the pre-snap checks in there, you know, dialing up the shots, even if they work or not, you know, beforehand. And you can tell that the mental process is real tight with him. We've just hit a point where at some point in the season, I would just love to be able to say one of his playmakers bailed him out on a bad throw. And it's just not happening for him this year. And, you know, you deal with that and you deal with the defensive collapse. And, you know, Carson Wentz is not above criticism. He has started some games slow. He comes out and he's a little hot. You know, he'll throw some things high. But when you see him get into a rhythm around that second and third quarter, I mean, he is really out there slinging the pill. And I think a lot of his playmakers are letting him down. I think there's a reason that PFF has him as the second greatest graded quarterback. And I also think there's a reason that Dak is rated that high as well. And Dak dealt with drops against the Jets and didn't get a whole lot of help on his side too. And, you know, even before that, his numbers could have been better. I know Amari Cooper has dropped some key drops before that. And, you know, they're both subject to a couple of spells of bad play, but it's so weird. The narrative around these quarterbacks, if they're not elite. And remember, when Peyton Manning was in the league, he got killed by the media for years. We're talking about one of the top five quarterbacks of all time. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a lot of the same stuff with Wentz and Dak. And I'm not saying that either of them are elite. I'm not putting them on that pedestal. But you're getting very, very good quarterback play. And you can't win the Super Bowl every year. Not everything can be rosy. The team around them has to play strong.
Right.
You know, elite quarterbacks with bad teams don't have fantastic years when you look at it. It's just kind of the way it is. I think the way that we talk about quarterbacks needs to change as a whole in regards to our expectations, because not every throw is going to be perfect and they are going to need some help sometimes. And it's up to the team around them to help. And that goes for the Cowboys with Dak and that goes for the Eagles with Wentz. I think both are playing at a high level.
I'm inspired. I know that, you know, the DNC was just last night, you know, you and I are talking, but that was like a presidential sort of statement there, you know, like, oh, we've got to change the way we approach this. I dig it. You tweeted last week the drop rates for Eagles pass catchers, and it was a little staggering. JJ Arcega-Whiteside has not been special so far this season. Dallas Goedert, I know you guys love to talk about the Goedert's package and whatnot, has not been great. I mean, I feel like, would you say that Zach Ertz is still the perennial sort of pass catcher? Because it feels like Alshon Jeffrey was close to that role. I mean, you know, I guess from a Cowboys perspective, who is your version of Amari Cooper, the guy that you feel like is going to make the difference, it's going to win you the game, you know, when the going gets tough, the guy who's not going to be on this drop rates list that Kiss tweets out next week?
Yeah, Zach Ertz has found himself at the bottom of this drop rates thing. He's been the most consistent, but he still had some bad plays in Atlanta. You know, he ran short of the sticks on a key fourth down that ended the game. So he hasn't been perfect either. And I think he actually had his worst game, you know, the fumble at the end against the Vikings. I thought he had his worst game against the Vikings. You know, we'd love to have one week where one of the offensive playmakers isn't having their worst week of their career. But yeah, Ertz is who the offense wants to run through, which is interesting because teams have done different things with him. With Deshaun out of the lineup, it's condensed the offense. And what you're seeing a lot in red zone and in third down situations is they're starting to bracket Zach Ertz. And I think the coaching staff is having an issue scheming around that. And we saw this last year, and I'm very interested to see how the Cowboys play it this year, because last year the Cowboys put Byron Jones on Zach Ertz in mm-hmm. key third down situations, and that totally befuddled the Eagles offense for a good couple of quarters. They had a really slow start before hitting a rhythm. So I think it runs through Ertz, but the Eagles coaching staff has to find other answers. But they also need guys to step up. You mentioned the drop rate. You know, Arcega-Whiteside is at 33%. He's pretty much been benched since that drop against the Lions that could have won the game. Darren mm-hmm. Sproles at 29%. Howard's at 25%. Dallas Goedert is excellent, but he's at 17%. He dropped a touchdown too in the Lions game. Matt Collins at 17%. Even Deshaun has an 11% drop rate. Nelson Agholor is one of the lower ones, and you think about him because he has the highest leverage drops and also, you know, a couple fumbles as well. But those guys need to step up if they're going to be trusted as the other go-to guy alongside Ertz.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
You mentioned Ertz's stop, or the stop on Ertz in Atlanta, awfully reminiscent of Jeff Heath stopping Ertz last year. So I remember.
I thought of that exact same play when it happened. I'll be honest with you.
It was incredible. That moment was great. And that's why I think a lot of Cowboys fans are terrified of this, because I mean, you know how it is. Like, if you sweep, you know, the Cowboys or whatever, you get like a year's worth of currency. And so that's, you know, on the line this Sunday. Fair. But you know, all these guys that you mentioned, and I think, you know, it is interesting to see how, you know, Carson Wentz is being let down, similar to how Dak Prescott's being let down. Although I think Dak's being let down more on the other side of the ball than necessarily by his receivers, because he's getting such great play from Amari and Michael Gallup when they're healthy. But DeSean Jackson, I know it's still early in the week, but it feels like this could be the week that he does return, which does terrify me. But how does that change the Philly offense for Carson Wentz specifically? Because we're still kind of getting to see the Carson Wentz, DeSean Jackson Eagles offense.
Yeah, it's week one. You get DeSean out there and you have that vertical element, and Carson Wentz is at the line changing the play. Like both those deep bombs, he changed the play. And one of the concepts they actually scored on, you know, they scored on a dagger route, which is you're getting an outside dig route and from the slot where they like to use DeSean, which I love because a lot of his explosive plays come from reduced splits and in the slot. You know, he's running the streak. That's a clear out. On a dagger route, that streak is a clear out route. DeSean Jackson does not run clear out routes. He runs touchdown routes. So that's part of the element that is missing with this offense. And Nelson Agholor has not been able to replicate the success of not only DeSean, but also his 2017 success as a deep ball threat. So what you're seeing is a lower depth of target. The ball's coming out quicker. The offense, for the most part, has been fairly efficient. I mean, they're still up there in a lot of different categories, but you are having to see them grind out some drives. And the longer you have to grind these drives out, the more susceptible you are to execution errors that can set you back, whether it be via penalty or just, you know, you have a drop and that puts you in a bad situation, or the run game doesn't get going like it should and doesn't give you that different support. So having that element is really, really hurting the Eagles offense, not to a crazy extent, but man, they really need that explosive element back.
I don't think they do, Chris, if I'm being honest with you. I mean, you know, DeSean wants to chill. Yeah. You know, he's just been such a pain, as you know. But on the other side of the ball, so again, it's still early, but you and I are talking on Wednesday, and Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins not expected to practice, which in itself is terrifying. But beyond that, you know, Cowboys fans are pretty proud of the fact that their defense is 11th in the NFL in terms of total defensive pressures. But the Philadelphia Eagles are first. They are the only team in triple digits to this point in the season. How are the Eagles getting so much pressure? Because facing that without your starting tackles is an idea that I don't think is going to go well.
Yeah, I mean, there's pressures and there's sacks, and the conversation is pressures are stickier statistically than right. sacks, and eventually the sacks should come with those pressures. And the Eagles have two decent pass rushers. You know, Brandon Graham is a fantastic run stuffer. He's solid as a pass rusher. What the Eagles are really missing is, well, there's a lot of things, but a couple of things on the defense that is not allowing them to translate those pressures to sacks, so you shouldn't be as worried, is the fact that when they came into the season, it was supposed to be Fletcher Cox Malik Jackson, who's an excellent pass rusher, mm-hmm. Timmy Jernigan, who's a very good pass rusher. Like, those are going to be the three interior guys. Cox has been dealing with an injury. I think he's back to form. So what you saw was Graham and Barnett are getting pressure on the edges, but there's no interior pressure to help get those edge guys those cleanup sacks. Or, you know, you've got room for the quarterback to step up in the pocket, still make a play. Then there's the disconnect between the pass coverage and the pass rush. So the Eagles, you know, especially against play action, they give up these gigantic swaths of space in their coverage, and they give it up very quickly. You know, they're 5-6 yards off the ball at the snap, and then they're in a bail technique and they're gone, and they're not, the flat defender's not getting out there quick enough. The linebackers are not connected with the third level defenders. So there's all this space where a quarterback can just easily dump it out there. I think the average separation for the Vikings last week was like the second highest in the league for their completions. So you can see these guys are just running free, and Jim Schwartz is having a real hard time getting all of that together. So while, yes, I think the Eagles are going to get pressure on Dak, Dak's a very mobile quarterback, and he will slip out the side door. And if the Eagles aren't disciplined in where they want to attack him and you know, have a good plan of flashing space with stunts and then taking it away and cleaning it up, I think Dak is really going to hurt them, because the longer this pass coverage has to hold up and the longer Dak can make that play last, you know, the more chances there are for Dak to hurt them.
You know, I think, you know, that sounds really calming, but I think Cowboys fans are still really, you know, terrified of this, just because, you know, we saw how badly they played without Tyron and Lyle last week. And, you know, it feels like the Eagles are just a team that's capable of preying on that for whatever reason. But how bad is this secondary? And I ask that, you know, seriously, because we saw the secondary, you know, not play well against the Cowboys during the second game last season. That was when Amari Cooper had his first 200-yard game. And it feels like things haven't really changed, which is a little amazing, you know, because, you know, Howie Roseman is such a talented roster builder. That, you know, so much time would go by between now and then. Is it just injuries? Is it, I mean, what is it? What's happening there?
Yeah. As far as the talent depletion, you miss Maddox because of the neck sprain that he got, because Andrew Sandejo came in like a missile and knocked him out, which is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Just glad it's just a neck sprain. Darby's coming back from an ACL, picks up a hamstring. And then Sidney Jones is getting called out by Doug Peterson saying, look, you're going to have to tough this out or you're not. And I agree. Sidney Jones, every time he gets beat, you know, doesn't have the confidence to rebound, and all of a sudden, you know, he's hurt again. And so we also got Nigel Bradham's hurt and the injuries on the interior. I don't think this team is as deep as it was touted to be. So I'm not saying that injuries aren't an excuse or whatever the case may be. They hurt any team.
Sure.
And the Eagles had a lot of them last year. They were the 31st most banged up team in the league per Football Outsiders. You know, the most banged up team since they started tracking that to win a playoff game. You can still win games like that with good coaching and whatnot, and, you know, having good quarterback play. But for the Eagles right now, the drop off for them, I think, is a little more precipitous than we imagined coming into the season. We thought we were ready to deal with these things. We thought we were ready for, you know, Alshon Jeffrey to pick up a knock, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside could come in and immediately replicate his production. You know, the cornerbacks coming in to fill in haven't been as good. I don't know if anybody can be good in the Schwartz scheme right now with the way it's designed. But yeah, I think my biggest takeaway is this roster isn't as deep, and with the way that they're executing, which is not up to par, it just makes it look a lot worse. So they're playing like a 3-3 team right now. And, you know, the Green Bay win aside, there's not a whole lot to take away that's really positive.
No, I think that's well said. And you're right. I mean, you know, Eagles were touted as being this monster of a roster all offseason long. And I think there are teams that, like, national media falls in love with, like the Seahawks were that team for a long time.
Yeah.
Howie Roseman's really gotten a lot of rightful respect. And so, I mean, you know, it was this big talking point. What is the deepest portion of this roster? I mean, besides offensive line.
Yeah, you mentioned offensive line, because obviously, you know, Andre Dillard might be getting his first start, you know, with Peters out. Apparently his injury is a bigger thing than we thought it was coming into it, and having Vitae and Dillard to back him up. Vitae's not good. Dillard's going to need some functional strength training in the offseason, but he should be okay. As far as the deepest part, man, that one's really hard. We thought it was wide receiver, but there's been so many injuries. With a smaller sample size, I guess I'll go tight end with Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz. I know Dallas Goedert had the one drop, but he was also dealing with a calf strain, you know, for a couple of weeks. He seems fully healthy now. This is, you know, a team that loves to pass from 12 personnel and can present a lot of different issues that way. I would go with that. Or honestly, I'd go quarterback, man. Carson Wentz, backed up by Josh McCown, backed up by preseason stud Nate Sudfeld. Like, I'll take that. I'll take that. And then Kyle Laletta on the practice squad. So, you know, they've obviously put some things in place just in case anything weird happens. I don't want to put that into the universe, but you get what I'm getting at.
No, for sure. So, you know, you mentioned Carson, and you mentioned the super deep level that is the Eagles quarterback situation. And, you know, Carson is a risk taker, I think. I don't know if you would totally agree with that. I mean, I think Dak is more of a person that's averse to risk, at least up until this season. We've seen Dak be a lot more aggressive six games in. And I don't know if you know this, Kiss. The Cowboys are the only team in the NFL to not start a drive in opponent territory. They're the only one. And a lot
of that.
You
know what's crazy about that? Because I had that same conversation when Foles came in against the Rams and they got the ball on the other side of the 50 like a few times to start the game, and they ended up with like 3 points. And I'm going, okay, yeah, the offense scored a bunch. Look at the run support that they got. Look where the defense put them. They turned the ball over. Mm-hmm. Quarterback needs help, man. That's just the way it is.
Well, you know, it's true. And I think obviously that says how much help Dak is not getting from his defense. But I think that it's, you know, the Cowboys have been so allergic to turnovers, and that's not just a this season thing. It's just kind of been who their defense has been. I know they obviously had a lot of defensive success last season, but they just don't get turnovers. They just don't. And so I think that's an area where the Eagles can capitalize. I don't know if it's just you mentioned like kind of cosmic universe energy or whatever. I don't know if it's just the way that the universe works, that the Cowboys are not meant to get turnovers. But I do think that is a place where the Eagles can benefit. I mean, do you think that this is a turnover prone Eagles offense?
I don't. I think with the way that they're having issues catching the ball, I think Wentz could kind of find himself with some bad luck on some bad bounces. I think that it can come that way. Miles Sanders has been kind of phased out as a runner. He had two fumbles in the Lions game, and he had a big time fumbling issue in college. So that would be another area for opportunity. Remember, he returns kicks too, so it's not just as a runner. That can happen and put you in a really bad spot, put the Cowboys in a great spot. But as far as like, can the Eagles, you know, capitalize on this? As far as winning the field position battle, I don't think with the way that Carson is playing right now, and you mentioned the word risk averse, I don't know if it's necessarily risk averse. I just think he's limited the dumb decisions and the dumb throws. I mean, the first half of the Atlanta Falcons game so far has been the aberration, the you know, exception to the rule. But yeah, I think the Eagles are doing a really good job taking care of the ball. Wentz is seeing better pocket movement, not fumbling the ball as much in the pocket as he has in the past. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough for the Cowboys to create turnovers and then create those advantageous situations where you have a sudden change in enemy territory, which actually the Jets were able to take advantage of the Eagles in their only score of that game. So yeah, it's going to be tough for them if they cannot get turnovers. That's tough for any offense to deal with that all day.
I think it's understood, Kiss, that this is, I think, the biggest game of Jason Garrett's career as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. It's certainly the biggest game of the season for them. I would say it's the biggest game of the season for the Eagles to this point. But looking at each of the team's next five games, I think the Cowboys do have a softer schedule. They're on a bye after this. Then they go to New York to take on the Giants, the site of their most recent embarrassing loss. And then they get the Vikings and Lions before the Patriots. Whereas the Eagles, after this, are in Buffalo, get the Bears at home, then are on by themselves, then Pats and Seahawks at home. How big is this? I mean, you know, I think this is a game that we're looking back, you know, on December 16th or whatever, and this is what swung things one direction. Or do you think that either team, not necessarily just the Eagles, can overcome this loss?
Yeah, I think with the way that it's played out, we can kind of stave off like the must-win feel. I know it's important for Jason Garrett. I get that a ton because I know his leash is starting to get shorter. But like for the Eagles, you know, you come to this three-game road stretch at 3-2. If you can get out at 2-1, that is gigantic for them. And then they get the bye to kind of reset and get things right. But with the way the division's playing out, you know, the top two teams are 3-3. And, you know, it's going to be a two-horse race. The Giants and Redskins aren't going to sniff anything near that. So I don't think it's as must-win as we feel right now. You definitely want to see your team play better and get right. But I think both teams are in a decent position to kind of figure things out and then get like on that midseason roll after the bye and everything like that. So this game is super important There's no question about it. You want to see one of them get right. And I think that's the team that rolls on from there. But for instance, if the Eagles go 1-2 and then they go on their bye and then they figure it out after their bye and then they beat the Cowboys the next time around, you might be looking at an entirely different scenario. So it's a long season. Everybody's hitting the panic button right now. I think it's a little premature, but I totally understand it with the way both teams are playing.
Finally, Kiss, predict this for me. Who wins? I know you got to set us up on BGM, but who wins and why specifically? Like, what's the difference maker?
Yeah, man. I was down on the Eagles coming in to play the Vikings, and the feeling was right on that. I was down on the Eagles playing the Lions, and I picked them to lose that one, and I was right on that.
Set it up. Let's do this. Bring it back. Rise it up.
I think if I saw the Cowboys beat the Jets, and not even didn't have to be convincingly, just get the job done type of deal. You know, it's hard to win in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Darnold played at a solid level. It's different from when the Eagles played him. I think if the Cowboys had played a higher level, I would have more confidence that they had fixed some of the offensive issues that they've been having, and also some of the defensive issues too, because this defense was playing a lot better last year, from what I remember, especially in the second half of the year.
Right.
So, man, I from a coaching perspective, we always go coaching, quarterback, talent, right?
Right.
From a coaching perspective, I have to trust Doug Peterson over Jason.
Absolutely. 100%.
from a quarterback perspective, I think with the way the Eagles defense is playing and the Cowboys defense is playing, I think you're going to get similar games from both Wentz and Dak. So we can actually push that. From a talent perspective, I think it depends. Is Amari, is he going to be cleared? Is he going to be 100%? What's going on with him? That's the big
one. Yeah, it is. It's, you know, there are some people that have doubts. That would be terrifying. I think that might honestly be a bigger deal if there's no Tyron or Lyle Collins, just because Amari opens the offense to such a large degree for Dak. I don't think, you know, we've really seen the whole just let Zeke run the offense take be hurt over the last few weeks, starting in New Orleans. But so if Amari's out, that really changes things. Michael Gallup's played well, but I don't think he's capable of carrying this by himself.
Yeah, Gallup is solid. So I'll put it to you this way. If it goes through Zeke, I mean, Jim Schwartz is so committed to disestablishing the run.
Ooh, that should be a website too, by the way.
I mean, he puts 8 men in the box all the time. I have stats on this that I could go into, but like, he's really, really committed to stopping the run to an annoying degree. I love the great run defense. I'd rather divert some of those resources to the pass defense. So I'm going to put it to you this way. If Amari Cooper has over 100 yards and a touchdown, because that would mean he's pretty healthy and playing at a high level, I don't think the Eagles have anybody that can cover him right now. And I don't know if Schwartz can figure out how to make that happen right now. If Amari has over 100 and a touchdown, Cowboys win. If not, right, Eagles win. Is that fair?
I think that's fair. And I like the, because I mean, you're not the guy that's going to come out and be like, oh, if Zeke gets his 30 touches, you know, they're undefeated when that happens. So yeah. I like the qualifier that obviously means he's having his success. By the way, I don't know if you know this, Amari Cooper as a Dallas Cowboy has never lost an NFC East game. So, you know,
there you go. There it is. There's your weird stat where, you know, causation and correlation, all that stuff. There it is.
I'll sort of flip it, and I'll say if Carson Wentz has, I wouldn't even say 300 yards, like in the same fashion, if Carson Wentz has 260 yards, he's having a level of success, you know, that is beyond what the Cowboys defense is able to hold. And so like, I think Dak could have a great game and lose. I mean, that's just kind of the way this is going for the Cowboys this season. So I could see this like Dak outperforming Carson, you know, from a statistical perspective, but the Eagles winning, and then Twitter just being ridiculously annoying for two weeks.
It's going to be ridiculously annoying no matter who wins this thing. I think we both know that to some degree.
That's true. Okay, so you've got your prediction out in the air. I like it. BGN Radio, you guys have a podcast episode every day, basically, right?
Like, we're doing like two a day during the week. It's bonkers. It's hard for me to keep up. We have the largest staff for any team brand podcast that I know of. So yeah, we've got tons of content from all different angles, man. It's awesome.
Well, tell us about it so people can go listen. Yeah, again, I mean, and the BGN subscribers can come over here. You know, we're a family.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm going to have you on BGN. So if you put Bleeding Green Nation into any podcast app, it'll show up for you. You get the Kist and Solak film review shows, the reaction shows, the preview shows. We do two parts. We do offense versus defense, and then we flip sides. We'll be doing that for the Cowboys as well. Very comprehensive. It'll give you some keys to look for during the game. of course, our flagship BGN radio show. We got an excellent show with two great female voices with Babes on Broad. I mean, we have a ton of stuff. I just talked with Chris Long today, so I'm going to have that interview up as well. I asked him what he would do if his clone showed up right now. I think he's in a bad spot because he's got the wrong mentality, but you have to listen in to find out why.
Okay. Well, I saw you tweet about that. I didn't want to plug it unless you did. I didn't want to be the guy that revealed it, ahead of you. So that's going to be great. BGN Radio, again, the number one podcast that SB Nation produces. We're very, very proud of you guys. You guys lead the way for us, and it's all growing. I mean, think about where we were a year ago. You know, yeah. It's good times.
Absolutely, man. And I'm glad you're part of that brand too, and we're having success together. And I look forward to talking with you soon on BGN, brother.
For sure. Michael Kist on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL. The good takes are there. Kist, thanks a lot for jumping on, man.
Thanks, bud.
Hope you enjoyed that. Kist is great, and I really mean it. The Bleeding Green Nation guys, they do such a great job. They're so smart, and I know they cover the team that we all, you know, don't wish great things for from an on-the-field perspective, but Michael Kist, Brandon Gowden, Benjamin Solak, I mean, all of the BGN dudes, and really their whole staff. They have a lot of, you know, great guys and gals. They all do such a great job with everything that they do, and so we're big fans of them, and go check out their stuff. I think you'll enjoy it. Really, the BGN radio will teach you a lot about the game of football. They obviously, you know, cover things with an eagle slant, but I think there's, there's room to enjoy it. I would be remiss if we did not mention Justin Hamilton, who the Dallas Cowboys signed on Wednesday to replace Tyrone Crawford, who is now on injured reserve. Justin Hamilton has bounced around a lot throughout his short NFL career. His last sort of real stint, or last action, I guess is the best way to put it, was with the Kansas City Chiefs. He did not make their 53-man roster when the preseason ended because the Kansas City Chiefs decided to go with Joey Ivey instead. That's right. The same Joey Ivey the Dallas Cowboys drafted 2 years ago. Sometimes life goes full circle like that. What can I say? Hopefully you enjoy the guest. I think we all learned a lot about the Eagles, and I think we're all really excited and really nervous for Sunday's big game. We'll see if we can round up another guest for Friday's episode of The Ocho. I think, you know, we always get great feedback when we have guests. If you want us to do what we can to try to convince other people to come on here and talk with us, we'll definitely do that. Enjoy Thursday Night Football. For what it's worth, I think the Chiefs win, but I don't know what it is. Chiefs Broncos is always a weird thing on Thursday Night Football. The memory of Chiefs, I think it was 2015 Chiefs Broncos Thursday Night Football. 2015 it was, early in the season when Denver had that crazy comeback at the end when Jamal Charles put it on the ground and that was wild. There's just something weird about that. I don't know what it is. And, you know, the Chiefs have lost two in a row, and I guarantee you, you know, we're all thinking the Cowboys got to get back on track. Cowboys, Cowboys, Cowboys. Chiefs fans are thinking the exact same thing. I know all the readers and everybody at Arrowhead Pride are really aching for a dub. And if the Broncos were to beat the Chiefs and they were to lose three in a row, oh mama, that would be wild. But I think Kansas City gets it done. Have yourself a fantastic Thursday. Just have the best Thursday ever. I want you to have the best Thursday ever. Make last Thursday look weak compared to this Thursday. This Thursday needs to be amazing for you. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you manana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys and peace out.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.